shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. May I pause to say this? There's something in scripture called itching ears. Itching ears refers to a state of choosing what you want to believe amongst a set of truth. Itching ears implies to have a mindset towards the word. And that's why a lot of people have not allowed the word of God to change their life. Because if the word of God does not change your thinking, it definitely cannot change your life. So, in instances like this, you must see the word of God as the material, the substance for change. In other words, as you receive the word, you must receive change. Say with me, I receive change. Say it again, I receive change. You must receive change. Jesus talked about the sower sowing the word in Mark 4, Luke 8, and Matthew 13, and he talked about how, you know, it fell on a ground, honest and a good ground. I mean, a good ground was the one who had the honest and a good heart, or honest heart, open, transparent, and so on and so forth. So it's important that you know how to receive the word. And I've said it, revelation is how you receive the word. How do you receive the word? It's very important. We have said here that ministry has to be supernatural. If it is not supernatural, then it is not ministry. And I started by talking about King Rehoboam, remember? Can you remember? Who substituted brass for gold. And that's going on a lot here. Around now, substituting brass for gold. And there was already a system, you know, with which or by which the temple was built. And, you know, you got to be careful. That is why you must get inspiration from the right place. I've said this many times. Be careful the kind of company that you keep, the kind of things you surround yourself with. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Your friends, people, in fact, sometimes it's not even your friends, it's just what you hang around will affect you and change the way you are thinking. Nobody is stronger an influence. Nobody. Don't forget. Okay. Now, we also went into the outpouring of the Spirit, where we concluded that the outpouring of the Spirit is from the church to the world. Is that okay? And it is explained via, now, hold on. The outpouring of the Spirit, I told you, was not Acts 2. Acts 2 was for them to wait for the Spirit to indwell them. It was upon that that they were to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say, gather the world into a room, then I will give them my Spirit. He didn't say that. He said, you wait in Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. Now, when you are endued with power from on high, then you will take the gospel to every nation. So the outpouring of the Spirit is a result of the indwelling of the Spirit. The outpouring of the Spirit is a result of the indwelling of the Spirit. And the outpouring of the Spirit is for all flesh, upon all flesh. And we have seen all flesh in Mark 16:15, Matthew 28:19.
Hallelujah. So, we have seen all flesh in that. All flesh were not supposed to wait in Jerusalem. All flesh were supposed to tarry until they be endued with power. But all flesh will receive from that. You and I, for instance, receive from the outpouring of the Spirit. That is, men and women who yielded to the Spirit of God and took the gospel to us. They brought the gospel to us. With signs following. And that's why I said to you, the message of the gospel has to be supernatural. Because the theme of the message is miraculous. You are going to tell men that Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, lived on earth. You are going to tell them that he died on the cross and he rose from the dead for humanity. You are going to tell them that he is still alive today. That he is not dead. That message must be authenticated by the same Spirit, hallelujah, that raised Jesus from the dead. That message has proofs. It's sad today that the proofs have been changed. You know, somebody was preaching this one day and he said, find your purpose in life. He said, Jesus fed the poor. He said, he fed 5,000. He fed 5,000 men plus the women. He was teaching in the church. And he now told them, look, you too, if you start a pure water factory, make your goal 5,000. What nonsense. You know what the fellow has just done? He has debased the workings of power. He reduced it to a factory. And that's what's going on. Rather than the church taking the healing power to the world, we are doing medical outreach. Medical outreach is good. It's also in the world. But there are weightier matters. There's priority. I want to show you that in a moment. There's priority. Things have priority. There are weightier matters. More important things. Look at Matthew 23. Because as a young minister, if you get your priorities wrong, it will take a long time. If you get your priorities wrong, Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, Jesus is speaking here, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Now, he's not telling them that tithe was wrong because tithing was under the law. Tithing was taught by the law. So, is he saying tithing was wrong? He said, but you tithe the mint and the anise and the cumin. Are you there? Matthew 23. Now, what did he now say? And you have done what? And you have done what? And you have done what? Is someone reading this at all? You have done what? The weightier matters. He's saying that there are some issues that have more precedence. There are some weightier issues. Let me read that to you from the Amplified. Matthew 23. He says, you pretenders, you give a tenth of your mint and deal the cumin, but you have neglected, omitted, the more important matters of the law. And he mentions them. He says, judgment, mercy, faith. He says, this ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now, let me read this one first. He said, this you ought particularly to have done, without neglecting the other. That is, we can do this once. Yes. But we must not neglect the weightier issues. That's why the average Christian today does not know how to preach the gospel to an unbeliever. Because he has not been taught. He's busy going for singles seminar, marriage seminar. He's busy going for businessmen's meeting. And the weightier issues he does not understand. The more important issues. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 6, there was an issue with people who were not being fed and all that. And for some of us, you know, we'll have just said, wow, that means God wants me to leave what I'm doing now and go and attend to these issues. So people were saying we're not being fed, they were neglecting of the widows. And then Peter made a powerful statement. He said, we will not leave the word of God to serve tables. Now, serving tables was important. But he said, look, we will not leave the word of God to serve tables. He said, rather, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. See the order. There's order. Order in the things of God. And did you notice that, I think I taught you here, those that were now serving tables, where are they supposed to end? The ministry of prayer and the word. Can you see that? I believe that in caring for the poor, in visiting the sick, like James taught in James 1:27, really, it is to stir in you the compassion to minister in the gifts of the Spirit. Not to now stay with that. We are giving free drugs, free medicine. There's nothing wrong in that. But there are weightier issues, weightier matters. Today, I've been in secondary school outreach, Chase, for the last 17, 18 years. And I have never changed what I go there to do. I have never, not once. And I have trained people from their junior class till they graduated from university and are preaching the gospel. I have never. Because you see, there's some things you were not taught. So I don't know how to teach others what I don't know. Now, there are weightier issues, more important matters. Imagine, Paul was saying that he went among the apostles. He said, they didn't tell me anything. They just said, remember the poor. He said, I've always been doing that. He said, they added nothing to me. Don't turn church to NGO. Don't turn church to NGO. You must get it right from the onset. Are you following what I'm saying here? Don't substitute brass for gold. Paul Yonggi Cho, years ago, when he started the church, he was preaching. He was preaching a lot of philosophy and psychology. He would read philosophy books, join it with Bible, and he would be preaching it. There was not one woman. That woman had been, her husband was an unbeliever, and she was praying, Lord, bring this man to church. She would beg the man, weeks, months, the man would not come. So one day, the man now finally came. So, Young Joe began to preach. After finishing, he now went to the man. He was so happy. Ah, you came finally. The guy said, yes. He said, how was the service? The guy said, horrible. He said, what do you mean? He said, you were trying to preach philosophy. You don't even understand the basics. I am a professor of philosophy. He said, you know what? Why not stay with your Bible and leave philosophers in philosophy? He said he felt like the ground should open up and swallow him. What greater judgment when a preacher is competing with Dangote? He's competing with Bill Gates. A preacher wants to also sound like Warren Buffett. You want to sound like who? No, I want to sound like Jesus. I don't think you heard. I want to sound like Jesus. I want to see the signs of Jesus. The signs that Jesus saw. The ones the apostles saw. Just stay with your Bible. Unbeliever. I said, stay with your Bible. Leave philosopher. Philosophy for philosophers. Again, we're talking about how to buy shares. Is that your job? Is that your job? I'm a businessman. I'm in the corporate world. Most of the people who try to even beat on the cookie do a bad job. You will know that they've never been there before. I have sat with presidents, I've told you. So, when I said we're talking, I knew this one is talking theory. Come and learn practicals. But I won't come on the pulpit. I'll be teaching you business. That is not my job on the pulpit. When we are one-on-one, without the anointing of the Spirit, I can teach you. Imagine somebody said he was coming to this conference to see me for business talk. I'll give him real business, my father's business. Do not lay a wrong foundation. There is a right foundation to lay. A lasting one. And the funny part is that, you know, we stay in a generation of very fast things. Fast cars, fast food, fast airplanes. But the order of things will never change. No matter what you do, seed time and harvest will not cease. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus gave us a story, a parable of two people who built houses. He said one built his house on obedience. The other one built his house on mere hearing it, but not obeying it, and doing other things. The one built on obedience. To follow what you were told. To follow the truth. To follow the word. And the ministries was look alike. But it says, when the storms came, and the winds began to blow, one of them blew out. The other one was not shaken. I believe that the one that built on obedience must have taken a longer time. Because he will not be in a hurry. He will not want to go on television without having any message to preach. He will not want to go and start a church because his friends are starting one. He's working on obedience. Build to last. What did I say? Say that again. Make sure you build to last. You know, I was talking to somebody, and he was talking about how we were chatting on the internet, and he said he was going to contend for the faith. I said, what is the faith? He said, the faith that the apostles gave to us. I waited for him to display his ignorance. So he said, he showed me Acts 2. In 42, how that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I let him finish because there was a time in the body. You see, if you don't know, let me tell you, like one senior minister, I said, the way the body of Christ is now in Nigeria, everybody is doing their thing. If you want to believe anything, you have somewhere to go. Do you understand? There was a time, there was this wave in the church. And I tell people, I've been around for a few years. When you see waves like that, just calm down. It will come and go. Do you know that was the time? We were talking about the body of Christ. Anointing oil. Anointing oil. After a while, people now came up with, because they hear the preacher in America. Oh, baby. After a while, they now moved to consulting. Life coach. Now, we are in Genesis 1-2. There is nothing now. But the Holy Spirit is still hovering upon the face of you. Because he said, as long as I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth will be filled with my glory. Hallelujah. Nothing. With due respect, what some people you know, what do they believe? You don't know. Because there is nothing. It's just what is raining now. What is gathering crowd now? Fire! After a while, people run out of matches and matchsticks. So it's now what is raining. What's raining now is bring businessmen to a summit. Tell us the story of somebody who has 7 companies. People will come. They will come. People are now bringing a Krista, Giles and Agni. Come and tell them. 7 habits of a successful man. Are you writing? Said, perception is revelation. I said, there was one friend of my old friend. I saw him come out of those meetings. I said, where are you coming from? He mentioned the place. I said, the enemy has done this. You mean all those years of fasting and prayer? When we're suffering. Those matters, boys, new creation realities, boys. Kenyan boys. So all those years were to come to this place. I say perception is possession. Ah. Tell it not in God. Declare it not in Ascalon. How are the mighty falling? Hey! In those days, you would have got them and said, shut up! Now when you are now saying, that's right, instead of shut up. A dog returning to his vomit. I pray for you who return to your vomit. Amen. But beyond the amen, make sure you stick to what I've said. Imagine how many amens you have said in your life. The guy said, the apostles' doctrine. I said, what is the doctrine? I knew when the wave came. The apostles, apostolic and prophetic. What is the doctrine? I said, are you here to listen? He said, yes, sir. I said, I'm going to give you 3 apostles. And you tell me what is their teaching. I said, Paul. Said, James and Peter. Said, abstain from meat offered to idols. We read it. I said, Paul said, there's nothing like that. He said, 1. I said, 2. James and Peter said, when they were from the apostle doctrine, that they must not take the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul said, it is Jew and Gentile that is the church of God. 2. I said, are you following? He didn't know anything. He was just talking. I said, James called Christians sinners. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. But James told us of his own will begat yours by the word of truth. It was James that told us, if any man is tempted, let him not say, I'm tempted of God. Say, why? James wrote to the 12 tribes. He never saw it. Go and tell your fathers who are teaching you this nonsense to come for our meeting. You don't have to sit in front. Let them stay at the door. They will hear the word. He didn't understand what he was saying all over the place. Because many young people are in a hurry to start something. So they don't even understand anything. Somebody was telling me in 2002 that, Pastor, the things you have taught me, even if I don't listen to you again, it's enough for me for 50 years. Can you imagine? The person will never understand anything because you are learning the word. I'm going to go to that in the second session. Not to understand it, it's to make other people understand it. What's apostles' doctrine? What's the name of that? Apostles' doctrine teaching circumcision. He never knew that was what it was. I said, listen, the apostles' doctrine in Acts 2. Listen carefully, I told you. I said, at that meeting, they did not know there were other ministry gifts outside apostolic office. He had never seen it before. It was Paul that explained to Peter his life story. He said, firstly, apostles. God set them. Secondly, prophets. Then teachers. If you watch it very well, 3 ministries became prominent in the church. First the apostle, then the prophet, then the teacher. After that, workers of miracles, gifts of healing. Said they had never seen it before. I said, you can't. What you think ministry is to go around and criticize people? So you don't even understand anything. Build the right foundation. What did I say? Ministry is to build on the supernatural gospel. To build on the supernatural gospel. build on the supernatural message that was given to us. Why would Jesus say, this sign shall follow anyone that believes this message? That means this message is a proof producer. Build on the supernatural gospel. The gospel of power. Notice, I didn't say build on gifts of the Spirit. I didn't say build on miracles. I said build on the word. The word is supernatural. The word will produce results. Don't build on miracles. I give first place to the teaching of God's word. I was talking about the weightier matters the last time. Now, I give to the poor too. I give to the poor. I give to the needy. I support people. I support. I give to those who need operation and they need to go to for surgery and all that and all that. But I don't do that primarily. I don't even talk about it. Because that is not my primary job. My primary job is to take the power of the gospel to the sick, the oppressed, and the tormented. Nothing more. That's my primary job. And there's nothing as bad as majoring on the minors and minoring on the major. The question I want to ask you today, minister of the gospel, young minister, a lot to serve God, do you understand the word? Because, listen carefully. Understanding the word is not a corporate thing. It's not me and my friends, we are, no. It's a personal thing. That's why, like, you know, a friend of mine said usually on campuses, people, because of peer pressure, believe things. So after they graduate, people now settle down to what exactly they believe. I was shocked when I, after years, and I saw some people that we did say we believe the same thing and so forth. I saw the things they were now doing, and I was shocked. But I've come to know that. You must have an individual conviction, a persuasion. That is what will breed consistency. When you are convinced, when you are persuaded, somebody had come to me before and said, sir, he's just thinking. Is there a way we can there's some things we can start doing, you know, for church growth or for ministry? I said, no. I'll stick to what I believe. I'll stick to the word. The word will bring results. No doubt. I'll stick to it. Don't bother. I'm too convinced. I won't suffer in vain. Told you of this minister who told me emphatically. He said he discovered by working with a certain minister, a senior minister in Nigeria, that he just discovered that the gifts of the Spirit ceased in his life. And then I laughed. He said he discovered the man does not pray beyond 20 minutes and so on and so forth. So when I asked him a question, I said, but he still relates with the man today because he wants results. Any kind of result is okay. He doesn't mind whether the people are blessed or not. He just wants people around. He wants money. He wants people to sow. You know, sow is two ways. There's sow the animal, and then there's sow for money. When they build you on sowing, you become what? Soul. The soul, come and connect with the anointing. And then you take money. Simon the sorcerer. Go and connect with the anointing. Do you understand the word? Or are you just preaching it? The three key issues I'm going to talk about now, because I'm going to deal with some very practical things. Are you ready? Very practical. I don't believe in teaching theory, because I did not learn ministry in Bible school. I learned it in ministry. I didn't learn it in Bible school. It's in ministry that I learned ministry. I know exactly what I'm saying. Three key issues ministry is all about. And that's the major, the most important aspects of ministry. Acts 6. See that again. Verse 2. Then the 12, you know the story. There were needs and all that. That today, you know, we are driven by the same needs. So look at our society. A prominent preacher said this. He said, look, that I'm shocked when Christians spend all night. They say they're praying in tongues. Say they are praying in tongues. They say they are praying in tongues, wasting endless hours in Bible study. He said, we're supposed to go into the whole all the world. He said, is that gospel? Say gospel is when somebody that is hungry is fed. Somebody that is thirsty has water. Somebody that, say that is ministry. Say, look at Abuja, we have visited the schools. Do we give scholarship? Do you know the bad part? It was in my house that I heard it. Somebody was sitting beside me. And he said, I said, yep. How did that demon get in here? Here? He said, You know why? He's looking for an excuse to be lazy. That's an easy thing. That takes, you know, you don't have to pray for that. Fasting? No. Prayer? A man went on television, the same person, and he said, fasting is all not this thing, not prayer, you are praying. So you are just praying and fasting. He said, that's not biblical fasting. Biblical fasting is when you give to the poor. I don't want to mention the person. I won't do that because of love. In those days, I'll have mentioned it from the onset. I mean, there's no... you know, but less people speak of us as evil. I was looking at the man. And it's not what I'm saying. I'm sure that guy is not bringing his Bible to church. That's why his hand was free. Don't let them take gold from you and give you brass. Don't let them do that. So the fact that they were hungry people, people were having issues with food, does not mean you now change your ministry to international food ministry, international scholarship giving ministry. I call them bus stops. Bus stops. Today, people think ministries, starting schools, starting university, there's nothing wrong with university. If I have excess money, and we have reached so many nations, we have done enough TV programs, we are doing so many crusades, maybe like Archbishop, I have reached 148 nations, and I can say, guys, how much is left? Let's start World Men International Universities. But I've got work to do now. The 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto themselves, and he said, it is not good that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 4, we will give ourselves once a year to prayer. What version do you have? We'll give ourselves what? Prayer. And to what? Ministry of the word. So ministry is prayer, preaching, and teaching. Praying for people to receive the word. Preaching to people to receive the word. Teaching people the word. That's what ministry is. Those are the core issues of ministry. He didn't say we'll give ourselves continually to preaching. The ministry of the word. That ministry has a focus, the word. And the word is gotten in the Bible. You know, today, if you see a website, it's very easy to go to their, is it seventh cardinal, what do you call this thing? Our statement of faith. You read it. You know that everybody's copying and pasting. Just copy somebody, paste, copy and paste. Copy and paste. Copy and paste. Because you now see, said, we believe the word of God is inspired. The Bible is the inspired word of God. We believe salvation. We believe humanity must hear the gospel. They copied it from somewhere. You now see the opening page of the website. Branding. Advertising. You now ask, who wrote the statement of faith? They copied it from somewhere. I just made the website fine. We'll give ourselves to prayer, to teaching, and preaching. That is ministry. Nothing beyond that. Prayer, preaching, and teaching. What did I call it? Because I'm going somewhere. That's why I'm laying this foundation. Say it again. 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 Good. Not teaching about prayer or preaching about prayer. It is prayer itself. Then teaching and preaching. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said something about the work ahead of us. He says, the harvest is plenteous, verse 37. But the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send forth escorts. What version are you using? To send forth motivational speakers. Send for who? Laborers. Ministry is labor. Work. The apostle said last night, ministry is spelled in four letters. W-O-R-K. Work. If you are not cut out for work, you are not cut out for ministry. Laborers are the ones that are needed. Not title grabbers. Not those that like to be called pastor. Laborers. A laborer in the Greek is somebody that toils. T-O-I-L. One who toils. One who exerts energy. One who applies effort. That is a minister. The one who applies effort. In 1 Timothy 5:17, he says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Who labor, who work, who toil, who exert energies, effort, who stress themselves to preach and to teach. In 1 Corinthians 9, it's mentioned again to our minister, said the laborer is worthy of his wages. The laborer, not the esco. You see some boys, accidental discharges. 200 level. They are bringing food for him. 200 level. By the casting of Urim and Thummim, they picked him. Before they made him the thing, he said, oh, Lord, pretending. Everybody's in drama. I'll do your will. But he's happy. Now I don't have to cook my food. Now I don't have to get money from home. Now I don't have to wash my clothes. So he sees that opportunity. Doesn't live. Just there. These are they line up in their door with food. Plantain chips. Plantain itself. The chicken and chips. For 1 year of anointing. 1 year. Then Amala Begiri. I says, bless you. He just left secondary school. It was in the school that he discovered he was truly a Christian. Bless you. Hallelujah. So he says, you know, my children, you say, you know, when I see things like that, this is the way I speak. Assuming that kind of fellow's name is Shewa Jasa, I'll just say, da, 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 da. Nollywood and ministry. Featuring Shewa Jasa as pastor. You know, it's a delight to watch. You see, as prophet, Lovely. But when the music fades, and you say, the end, you cannot, for instance, if you ask the drummer, use my house, and they say, the end, and you are coming back naked to come and see my room, I say, what is your problem? Are you following what I'm saying? I hope you are not as. Laborers. Laborers are thieves. And I'm talking to word ministries now. A ministry like ours, for instance. Laborers. Why? Look at the thrust of the gospel. The thrust of the gospel demands labor. Do you know something? All of you, I mean, when you were in school, there are some courses. They give you the handout, 10 pages. Do you understand? When I was in law school, there was this particular course we did, civil procedure. Somebody was asking for civil procedure materials, so I brought it down when I was going to be called to bar for the lady. She said, I said civil procedure, that's it. These are the materials. It was Ghana must go. One course. Say, God bless you. Because I read civil procedure from 8 p.m. to 1 p.m. the next day. I did not bat an eyelid because failure was staring me in the face. And I said, God forbid batting. So I said, God bless you. The Lord bless you. Read you. You know, so when you hear civil procedure, you say, walk. There's some courses. 4 pages. The lecturer himself is lazy. He just says, just read anything, I'll pass you. Maybe it's a 0.05 unit course. But there are some courses. You see them like this when you enter medical school, because you see they will be telling you from your jam lessons that you will face the almighty Gagel. So you know that it's not that kind of course. You will not attend the lectures. You know, you say, don't worry, five hours for the exam, I'll read it. Well, you will read how to read when you do your receipt. That's what you eventually read. How to read when next you sit for this exam. It shall come to pass that thou shalt fail. So, when you look at the assignment of ministry, you will know the kind of effort you have to apply. There's, when you look at the task ahead, many of us, we have been trained with this elitist thinking. T.L. Osborne says, no man has the right to hear the gospel twice. That's conviction. Said those that come to church are saved. They didn't just know it. Said he doesn't believe the altar calls in church. Said those that come to church, they are already saved. Just giving handbills and flyers. Elitist. I was talking to some Christian people, and I said they were going to have a camp, so I told them to come and use so and so place. I mentioned Rock New Life. So the lady checked the place. I said, the toilets, the beds, the surroundings. Literally. She lives at Folagoro. She has never in her life, being in the air in Nigeria, whether as a witch or as a human, never. I have slept in 5-star hotels, I mean the best in the world. I have flown first class. So who are you? I have entered presidential mansions, sat down with the president of a nation. you are saying, you Olaguru champion, Ago warrior, Shagamu president, Akoka boy. Also, sorry, royalty. You can imagine. That's a wannabe. You know, those of you who are speaking English, you know that. Talukoi. Say, come and take the bucket. The teacher. That's the guy that will go to Buckingham Palace. And okay, the queen will say, pardon me? Pardon me? Sorry, can you get an interpreter? When you see the walk ahead of us, you will breathe in and breathe out and say, Lord, I surrender to you. Because ministry is work. That's what I told you yesterday. There's a cost for the cost. Mark 16 and 15. Let's start now. Are you there? What does he say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Matthew 28. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So, the course title is All Nations. The course code is Mark 16, 15, Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19. That is the NUC approved course. Bible approved course for ministry. Any other thing is illegal program. All the world. That is the reason why we teach you what we teach you today. The kind of training that you have been given. In other words, I've seen this mission. This mission is crowds oriented. The gospel does not deal with hundreds. The gospel does not deal with thousands. The gospel does not deal with hundreds of thousands. The gospel does not deal with millions. The gospel does not even deal with hundreds of millions. The gospel deals with everyone. So there is no number that is too much for us. If we have 500, we should be going for 1,000. If we have 1,000, we should be going for 10,000. If we have 10,000, we should be going for 1 million. If we have 1 million, we should, he said, the whole earth. And whenever there is no challenge for ministry, you are marking time. You have lost purpose and direction. You must be challenged to do more. You must be challenged to do more. You must find a pastor who will always challenge you to do more. We'll talk about that later. So the body of Christ, now, let me explain this. When we preach to people and they receive the gospel, I've told you, the first thing you tell a new convert is not to read his Bible, is not to pray. All those things are misnomers. The first thing you tell a new convert is to take him to church. That's the first thing. Take him to church. He first needs identification and fellowship and the right atmosphere for spiritual growth. Don't start your own fellowship with him. So, the gospel deals with everybody and all the peoples in the earth. Please follow me. when we preach to them and they come to church, assuming we now have 2, 3 people, 4 people, 5 people, that assembly or assemblage of people by the commission we have ought to continually grow. When you see people who gather themselves together for that same purpose and they are not thinking about the unbelieving world, you have seen a church, a ministry that has lost its vision. 2001, Kenneth Hagin prophesied. And he spoke at Kenneth and at camp meeting. And he said, any church, any ministry that does not have world evangelism as its first priority is out of the will of God. Straightforward and simple. You can argue about it. You can try to say something about it. But that is the gospel truth now spoken by inspiration by the prophet of God. Now listen. That church, that ministry, that fellowship ought to keep expanding. Because that is your mission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye and also teach the nations the word. The outpouring of the Spirit is for who? Is for who? All flesh. All flesh. Today it's very easy to say things like, you know, in those days when we were younger, we would say things like, brother, is your nice shirt where souls are perishing. You know, some words like that. Somebody had said this before and he pointed my attention to it, that some things, when you joke about them long enough, you will start believing them. Now hold on. In those days, it was easy to talk to fellow Christians, look at you, you are wearing souls are perishing, you are wearing this nice shirt. And, you know, we said it a bit jokingly, but with a little bit of reverence of, we should be preaching to souls. After a while, people started responding to that joke by saying, whether I preach or not, souls will perish. We started with joking. Are you following what I'm saying here? It was joke. Whether I preach or not, before I was born, souls were perishing. If I live, so he was still joking. Gradually, it is now accepted that the most important person is you. Finally. It came by joking about it, and joking about it. He would joke about it a little bit, joke about it a little bit more, until finally people now started saying it confidently. If somebody told me, I said, Emuji, when souls are perished, he said, must I now perish? I mean, it was serious. I told you, why did Jesus come? So, if you do not value, honor what God honors, then what kind of life are you living? So the church is ordained to grow. Let me say this. When we are not growth conscious, and I'm not talking about any kind of growth, don't forget. When we are not reaching out and reaching out, let me tell you what we're going to be doing. We're going to be criticizing. Idle horses do not kick. When a horse is not working, it does not kick. Idle horses do not kick. Now we have been breeding in church salmon tasters. Choir critics, ministers, vetters. People just come to church now with no work, no thrust outside the local church, just to look at and begin to have meetings upon meetings. We don't have so many meetings. Issues are always coming up. Issues. Should people marry on Tuesdays? No. Let's make it Saturdays. Then 6 hours. Why? Because there is no work. We are doing. You now go around, you want to hear what all preachers are saying to criticize it, is because you have no work you are doing. It's idleness that makes a Christian minister a critic. It is idleness. Somebody mentioned a preacher. I said he discovered that he doesn't even get involved. I said, how does he get involved? He's on television every day. He has to write devotional, he teaches, he has his healing school every day. How in the world would you have time? You will be too busy for some things. I do all things, don't kick. What time do you have to be finding out what people are pushing all over the place? You are jobless. You are jobless. It's joblessness. Because the church is meant to increase because of the vision that we're given by Jesus. Let's look at the early church. Those we call the early church. Now put your hands on your Bible because we're going to read quite a number of scriptures. And I want these scriptures to burn in your heart from today. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Acts 2 is after Peter preached. Verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. That Galilee received the word, were baptized, and the same day were added how many people? How many people? 3,000 souls were added one day. Look at the next verse. And they, the 3,000, continued steadfast in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Look at verse 47. Praising God. Okay, let's read it together. Want to go? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And how often were people added to the church? Daily? Stop that nonsense. I don't believe in this kind of ministry where you daily ministry activities. That is lack of purpose. People should go out into the world and manifest the character of Christ. I don't believe you're preaching the gospel. Let's live the life. How do you live the life? We are not preaching about it. Let's live the life. Said daily. That means evangelism was going on how often? Daily. Preaching to the lost had become the practice of the church. It was the vision, the mission, and the sole purpose for church. Daily. Acts of the Apostles again. Chapter 4. It was after they were threatened, where Peter and John were arrested. And then the Bible tells us in verse 31. And when they prayed, the place was shaken together, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Can we read verse 32 together? One, two, go. And what? So, which number believed? Multitudes of them that believed. We have left 3,000. We have seen daily. We have also seen multitudes. How many of you know multitude is not 4? It's not 10. I don't think it's even 100. Multitude is a very large high number of people that believed. Are you still there? Acts 5. Verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. Verse 14. Let's read that together. Want to go? Again? Both women and men. Multitudes. Verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem. Multitudes. Verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, he ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Did you observe that the multitude we were seeing was a result of effort? Did you see that? It was labor. They went from house to house. They were teaching and preaching concerning Jesus from house to house. See, church, ministry is labor. It's not tea party. It's not knowing how to do flyers. It's not knowing how to do billboards. It is preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus. The multitudes. The crowds. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6. After they separated some men into the office of the deacon, verse 7. And the word of God increased. When you say the word of God increased like that, it's not referring to Bibles, it's referring to the preaching of the word. The message of the word increased. And the number of disciples did what? Greatly. And a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. We have seen men and women. We have seen even religious people. Men and women, religious people. Daily. What was going on? What was going on? Daily. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. Verse 5. Philip went down to Samaria. Before I read verse 5, let me read verse 4. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere praying. Went everywhere hiding themselves. Preaching the message. When Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto the people. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those who Philip spake. And hearing and seeing the miracles of JD. The Bible says in verse 8, there was a great joy in that city. Multitudes. Many people. The entire city responded. And you watch later on from verse 25 to 26, we'll see the same Philip. Now went, the Bible says, to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. They now went to an individual. So there was public preaching and there was personal witnessing. Meetings were held in the public places. They were held in people's homes. People had people come into their house, Christians come to their house to preach the gospel to them. In Matthew 10, Jesus said, enter into their house. Today we don't go into people's houses to preach. They enter to their house and say, where they bid you welcome. Say, where they don't bid you welcome, they dust. Sandal. Says the walls of that city. So, truth of the matter is, we take the gospel to everywhere. Everywhere. Acts of the Apostles again. Chapter 8, verse 40. Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. All the cities. Acts 9. Are you in Acts 9? Verse 34. And Peter said unto Ananias, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise, make your bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydia and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. How many people? How many people? Please respond. How many people? I hope you are reading these scriptures. All. All. Look at verse 42. It was known throughout all Joppa and many believed in the Lord. That was when he raised Dorcas from the dead. All Joppa. This gospel was preached everywhere. Acts 10. Cornelius' house. Was taken to Saul's house. A centurion. A secular person. And the entire household of Cornelius heard the gospel and believed it. Acts 11. You there? Are you there? Acts 11. Verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose from Stephen, traveled as far as Phineas, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word of God to none but only to Jews. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Verse 21 together, everybody. Want to go? And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. A great number. The hand of the Lord was with them. Look at the first thing we saw. There was effort. They went. They went. Is that today we wait for people to come? No. They went to people. Acts of the Apostles again. Chapter 13. Many Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul. Our gospel is also for religious-minded people. They followed Paul. Look at verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Verse 49. Together, everybody, verse 49, want to go? And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Throughout everywhere. Acts 14. Let's read verse 1 together. Want to go? And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both and the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, and a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Now, did you observe that they never shied away from religious people? Sometimes we shy away from, we think that because a place has a lot of churches, we should not preach the gospel there. No. You are wrong. Some folks are just religious people. They are not born again. They are not saved. So they went there. And the multitudes, look at verse 21. They preached the gospel to that city and had taught many. They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Many. Acts 15. You also discover, I'm going to look at this later, in Acts 15:35, that those that were preaching and teaching the gospel moved from the apostles initially. From that Acts 6 account of what Acts 5 and Acts 6, please follow me very well. You will see that Peter made that statement. As important as that statement is, you will think that that statement is tied to the apostles. That the apostles will preach, they will teach and pray, let the rest serve tables. God is humorous. As that was going on, I showed you how Stephen went out. He had things were communicated to him. He went out and began to preach. I showed you now in Acts 8, after they killed Stephen and they murdered him, then believers were forced to forget food. They were forced to forget serving tables. Everybody now had to run. The apostles waited. So they were serving themselves their food. They waited and then they dispersed abroad. And it was one example of those that dispersed abroad that we saw in Philip. He now went from coast to coast. We have seen again, as time went on, more people were now involved in the preaching of the gospel and more places were reached and more people were reached. Many other people. We saw that Acts 11. Those that were scattered abroad because of the persecution against Stephen. The hand of the Lord was upon them, and through them, they were not apostles, they were not prophets, they were not ministry gifts as at that point. Through them, thousands and multitudes turned to the Lord. Why we have not reached those we should reach is this. Christians are irresponsible today. That is the basic thing. They don't feel responsible for evangelism. They don't feel responsible to reach others. They think the Great Commission is for the apostles. They think the Great Commission is for those who have decided not to do anything reasonable with their lives, but to be preaching. Imagine one day, some of our people went to a particular school, were doing outreaches, and they saw this lady, Christian. And then the lady said, "Ah, where are you coming from?" She said, "I'm coming from evangelism." She said, "Since afternoon?" She said, "Yes." She looked at the lady very well. They were two ladies. Look at them. Say, "This is how you want to continue your life?" I mean, a Christian looking at another Christian rather than get inspired. Say, "This is how you want to continue your life. Won't you get married? Won't you have children?" Because from the pulpit in their church, successful Christians are those who marry, have money, and you know, that's success. That is life fulfillment. Believers were scattered abroad. And they were preaching the gospel. And multitude crowds were turned to the Lord. Acts 16, 31 to 34. Paul preached the gospel in the house of the jailer. Acts 17. The gospel also went to the corporate world, to the intellectuals. They taught it in Harvard University. They preached it there. Acts 17. The Bible says in verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming went to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness and set the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And this is one of the most bastardized, abused scriptures you hear. Be a Berean Christian. Be a Berean Christian. Be a Berean. In fact, somebody has an entire material called the Berean Christians at magazine. And I said, the foundation will be destroyed. What can the righteous do? They were not Berean Christians. They were unbelievers. Because if they were Christians, they won't search. They were unbelievers. They were searching whether those things were true. How can they preach you that Jesus Christ is Lord? And you are searching whether those things are true. I follow me very well. Paul said they were more noble. The nobility here had nothing to do with their heart. Because they were sinners. The nobility here had to do with their social status. They were honorable people. Maybe preaching to lawmakers in Nigeria. Well, those ones are still honorable. Or businessmen. Men of repute. That's what the word noble means. Men of repute. Men of timber and caliber and iroko tree. Men that matter in the society. Those were the Bereans. So they had more of those people. The Bible says there, verse 12. Are you there? Are you in verse 12? There some of them believed. Many of them believed. Also of honorable men, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Every ministry must expand its outreach to every sphere of the society. We must reach the poor, reach the rich, reach the educated, reach the illiterate. Everybody must be rich. Because that is course 101. So I said the course code is course Mark 16.15. Matthew 28.18 and 19. Course title, preach the gospel to everybody. Very straightforward mission. Everybody was needed. Not a few. Acts 18. Paul went to Corinth. And the Bible says in verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come unto Macedonia, Paul pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Now what's in there is this. As they came, their presence helped him to now do more ministry. If two Christians meet in a place, if we jam ourselves in Paris, or we jam ourselves somewhere in Asia, the next thing is not to begin to plan business venture and all that. No, begin to, people will travel abroad and they will come back. Two Christians, next thing, they have gone to Trafalgar Square. They will go and stand with Statue of Liberty. Statue of Liberty is not saved. Statue of Liberty, those that have gone there, they have not met or even Liberty. They now go there. They now go on Facebook around the world on holidays. Is that your life? When a Christian meets a Christian in another country, they strengthen their hands to do the work of the gospel. Many brethren are lost. Lost in the world. They moved together. They now began to preach. Ministry was now increased. I thought that when two of us meet, we should do more. All have happened. You me, Salah, you say, me to have a life. Come on, leave that one, leave that one. The guy is now. For some people, don't waste your time. Don't say. You know what I'm saying? First session. This message must be heard. You hear your don't worry, the gifts and callings of God, they are without repentance. When I make enough money, you hear about me. Usually, 99.9999%, they never make that money. The fire of the call ought to be stoked up regularly. Leaving it burn off may be disastrous. It will never come on again. That is the truth. That fire in you today, do everything to keep it this active. Guard it generously. Because there's nothing as bad as when you reach SS3, you now wrote your jam, you now failed. You now wrote SSC, and your father should recommend that the best thing for you to go back to Form 1 is always awful. It will take a lot of courage, a lot of humility, humiliation for you to sit down in that class of Form 1 students who probably were in their nursery school when you were entering the secondary school. You may have to go and relearn what you learnt again. You may have to go and start all over again. And sometimes it's almost impossible. So keep the embers of the fire always alive. Do whatever you can do. Lay aside whatever problem it is. And face this mission that's upon your life. Now, let's go on. Acts 18 again. Verse 8. And Crispus and chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed, and they were baptized. Many. Acts 19. Verse 10. This continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That is preaching. The preaching of the word will prevail. Hallelujah. I said the preaching of the word will prevail. See, no matter what evil report, no matter what opposition, keep preaching the word. It will prevail. So when he says somebody give the word of God and prevail, it's not a confession, no. It is labor. So mightily grew the word, and the word prevailed. What are you doing? You have a fellowship on your campus, 6 people. First year, 6. Second year, 6 plus 1. I thought they said daily. Your own is yearly. The Lord added 1 soul. The third year, some who have graduated now become 4. It looks like stock market. It's coming up and down. See? After a while, I'll tell you the excuse you have to give. After a while, I say,
People prefer that place. They're very religious. But who will stick with the word? Who will stick with the word? Just, I'm coming for you. Just wait. Who will stick with the word? Who will stick with the word? Come rain, come shine. Come rain. We shine. Which rain? You are in the desert. So mightily grew the word and prevailed. Look at Acts 20. Paul said in verse 20, how I kept back nothing. I was coming unto you and showed you, and I've taught you publicly and from house to house. So, the ministry must keep increasing in number. Are you listening? Are you listening to me? It must keep increasing in number. But don't forget, not anyhow. It is in the increase. Did you observe that? The increase of the church was by preaching and teaching. Did you see it? Did you notice it? Are you following? Were you reading it? You know, it was by preaching and teaching. It was not by gimmicks. It was not by media. It was not by using internet. No. Those ones are good. But it was by preaching and teaching. That is, believers were involved. They were not bench warmers in church. They were not, I just want to attend briefly, I want to do this one. And something is wrong with you. I saw a fellow, I said, he said he attends this church. I said, you are there. I said, you are just there. You. And The pastor has not felt somehow that there's this person that is bringing so many people to church. And said, for now, I just want to cool down a little bit, you know, to take my take your time to do what? To commit sin. Say, you have lost it. I said, your second name is Ichabod. The glory has departed. You see, it's good to tell some people the truth. Because I knew you when the temple was up. That is that temple of idols, not you. Not you. But instead, we see a backsliding person, we say, you are looking nice. I like you. Ah, that guy is doing well. Most of folks that maybe say things like that, I look at them and I say, you are insane. Somebody does not pray. He does not wait on the Lord. He does not preach the word. You say he's doing well. Well, call River me. I see people day in, day out who are wealthy. I know a guy that goes to Europe every other day. What are you talking about? I say it's well. Then these people need you. They need to hear you. The wealthiest man in Nigeria one time, when he lost his wife, said, Oju Towo. Said, I spent everything, she died. Mark 5, trust the power of God. That's all. Said, everything. There's a governor in Nigeria, Muslim. But anytime the guy says, well, he's a Muslim by birth, so the matter is that he believes in Jesus, so he believes in Jesus. Someone asked, why is he talking like that? He was so sick. He had been sick for many years. It was incurable. So he now went to meet a particular preacher in Nigeria. And the guy said, come, I'll lay hands on you. And he laid and said, go and check it. And he was healed. From that day, Muslim, he first of all built chapel in his government house. From that day, they said, come and be holding prayer service. All the commissioners will listen to you. And I'm trying to be like those people who want to be like you. Something is absolutely wrong with you. People have no life. They make money, they don't even know what to do with it after a while. Women, drinking, they are just hopeless. And you are trying your best to be like them. I will stick to my purpose. I will stick to my purpose. It's awful. It's awful. I traveled one time to a West African country. I sat with the president. They took me on a convoy. That's the dream of some people. Their lifelong ambition. Convoy. They stopped the plane. They said, everybody should sit down. They said, so and so person. Stand up. They said, sit down. They brought the car to the tarmac. They took me on the road. We're going. Bodyguard. Let's ask him a question. Is there any church around here? I'm not mad. In the midst of the thing, I went there and I taught in the church. Made friends with the pastor. Ministered to people. And I went back to my business. Suppose I just got in there. Are you a Christian? Let's leave that one, you know. God is the God of all flesh. Bye. Be in your last song, Christian. Be any last one, any jati jati. Paul was in chains. In chains. In front of the president of the world at that age. And he said, oh, Festus. He said, I will that you be as I am now. I am persuaded of this very thing that I'm telling you. That means he was on CNN. He looked beyond his present belief and said, look, I cannot be disobedient to the heaven. He said, Agrippa, you know these things. So he said, no, I have my last problem. Let me go and solve my last problems first. You are ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Some people just serve God, up to the point of getting married. Just saying flashlight, Delilah. Yeah, I told you, well, I'm not really, I don't believe in everybody preaching the gospel like that. Say, hey, well, I believe. You are still toasting yourself, so. Well, I believe every Christian should be involved in it. Oh, really? Well, you know, when I was in school, I saw some boys then, you know. But I mean, that's beside the point. Yeah, that's by the way. I mean, how many children do you want us to have? 16.
where I love to travel, great, and all that, there's this, I want to branch in one Christian bookshop. Look, it's because now I don't have time for all these branch Christian bookshop problem. And you are still cutting. The guy comes to check in the house, and he says, "Well, you've not been back since morning. So I went to church. What kind of nonsense is that?" Anyway, I mean, just do all you can do now. When we get married, I won't have that. That's why I go to so and so place. In 1 hour, we are through. What are we doing? Do you kill Jesus? Yes, you did. You can see like that. I see going on. You are in love. You are still in love. The guy, he just told you. He put down his manifesto. Emio, Dagbe. I'm just a regular Christian. You know, he's a regular. You say no, but when I was in school, you know, I'll be complaining. I said that when I was in school, I was very fervent too. You didn't know what you were doing then. I now look at that kind of person and say, I love you. You liar. Say, I love you. You guys say, I love you. What did he see that he loved? You laid aside your majesty. Did not count it your equality to God today. I now loved you. The lady was telling me that the guy told me, this is the real you. I never knew you were this wonderful, you were this cool, you were this. After she had left preaching, she had left ministry. You're back to the real world. This is cool. I said to her, say, in the name of Jesus, may it never end up in marriage. She said, shit. But my prayer went unanswered. They now have children. Those children are now born to suffer. Because they will start to see, they will start knowing that their parents used to serve God are no longer. So the more sinners will increase on the earth. Have you? That's it. Let's be responsible. We are responsible for the growth of our churches. We are responsible for the growth of the body of Christ in Nigeria. We are responsible for the increase of the word of God in the land. If you are in a church and the number is, your vision should be to do 10 services. Change the venue every month till the whole place is saturated. Silly excuses people give. You say, well, God does not want everybody to be saved. At what point did you know that? Was it before you got saved? How come you didn't have that knowledge before you got saved? It's just a proof of laziness. People will now come up with all sorts of doctrines, all sorts of beliefs. All sorts of, see, your foundation is key. There are some things, for me, my foundation in the word, even if I, by one error or mistake, had believed something, I usually go back and say, it can't be this. It can't be this. There was something I received very early in life, and that was passion for souls. It was unmistakable. So there was no way you could say anything to me otherwise. Now, suppose you say, well, you won't know everybody's supposed to be saved. Why should we preach? It's an excuse of lazy people. Watch those people. They don't pray. They have nothing to pray about. You can't be praying. What those people do, they don't care for lives. They will usually now hide under the canopy of doing charity work.
The same people they say they are not sent to preach to, that mean, that God doesn't want them to be saved, they will be taking food to them. The same people that you don't think that God has sent you to, you will take clothes to them. The same people, it just shows that you are lazy. Very, very lazy. Another stupid excuse that hinders the growth of ministry in our midst, in our nation, in our country, is that people think, people say, well, not everybody should be doing it. I teach and I've always taught, every believer is called to the ministry. What happens over time is discovery by exercise. Philip is an example. Stephen is an example, and several other believers. Pastors, the fivefold ministry, are not signs and wonders ministries. They are training ministries. That's all they are. They will work miracles and teach us to do the same. Same. That is the thrust of the fivefold ministry. That's why they stand out. They are teachers to teachers. Pastors to ministers. Praise the name of Jesus. Is somebody listening to me? So understand that ministry work is labor. It is labor. That's why you must not run away now from it. You must not run. It's sad. Look at Apostle Tox talked about when he was in school. He was probably practically maybe 16, 17 then. The age some of us is that the time we want to be playing about. I mean, on your campus, those of us who are in school, when last did you hear somebody praying in tongues for 5 hours? 5 hours. Because the kind of people that come there to preach now, what they'll be telling you is that I'm just coming down from Louisiana. I just bought a car. Now, we are students, 100 level. Do you want us to go and buy a car? How relevant is that to us? Ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. Work. I'll show you a pattern now. Because the ministry of the world will encounter problems and opposition. It's not going to be... See, things will happen different in different places. Like I taught you in So Great Salvation. Now look. When it appears that some people are not receiving the gospel, keep shining that light. You will keep at it. Acts 19. Sunday. Paul got to Ephesus. The first thing he met was what? God bless you. Religion. I taught you that. He met 12 people who were doing church service and they were not born again. He met religion. You know some people there? They will go to places. They go for service. And they will fellowship with whatever they meet there. Or there. With whatever they meet there. He met religion. The first thing he saw in Ephesus was religion. 12 folks. So when he went among them, he was discerning enough to know that, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Then he told him, believe in what? Okay, you're not even saved. He got them saved. Now, they were 12. Now, Paul immediately went to the synagogues. We're going to look at that in the afternoon. And when he got to the synagogue, there was now opposition. Now, if that should happen today, in many places, they opposed him. So folks actually said, get out. They moved against him. I'm saying that today, when you hear that, somebody says, don't go and listen to that person. It's not new. It's not a new thing. They went around and the Bible said they spoke evil of the way. They actually said, don't hear him. Don't. He's a this and so person. He's this and so person. And they said all sorts. Do you know what he did? Some of us, we just said, what? They can't believe it. These things are, is for, they are for a selected few. You are a lazy boy. Paul separated the 12 and now began to teach them. Now, as he was teaching them, because the Bible tells us that Paul just said, the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God to what? To the pulling down of strongholds. That means he met strongholds, imaginations, thought patterns that exalt themselves against knowledge of God. He said, we'll bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. What did he do? He mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 that he met beasts in Ephesus. He said, I fought with the beasts in Ephesus. I fought. Are you ready to fight? I fought. Listen very well. If your first set of disciples, they persuade them to leave your church, start again. Are you listening to me? Are you following me? Start again. Start again. Paul started again. He brought the 12. Started again. And the Bible says, until the whole of Asia, look at how many years, 2.5 years of preaching every day. Every day. He was teaching every day. He was going to people's houses now. He changed his strategy from the synagogue. Okay, it's affected by your name. Okay, I'll take these roots. Until the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. The Bible says that the whole of Asia now heard the word. Too many lazy men. They cannot labor. They want quick fix results. We ran a survey. Years ago, we used to hold a meeting, Soul Winners Conference, on campuses around Nigeria. I have taught in about 55 of campuses in Nigeria. 55. I have taught in over 30 states. And I can identify some points of view easily. We did a survey. We said, now, how many people are on the campus? We found out. How many people are in the churches? We found out. How many people are saved? Were saved through the churches? We found out. We discovered that it was less than 1% that gets saved through campus ministries. And that is where ministry usually is bred. So you have started on a wrong platform. See, if you go, listen. If all you have today is campus ministry experience, go and get somebody to teach you ministry. Go and get somebody to teach you. You have learned nothing. In fact, whatever you know is going to be a problem. I'm talking about this present day age. Nothing. You don't know, before you know it, they're doing man of God. They're doing man of God. They're working on okay. I told one, I said, come for a seminar. He said he has a meeting. You have a meeting. As a pastor of a thriving fellowship, I was traveling every week from Ilorin to Ibadan to go and hear a message for 8 months. You. Hi. Sad. 8 months. Oh, today, yeah, think concerning spirituals. I heard man is a spirit for 8 months every day, every week. Look at how many weeks. Sometimes somebody will lap me in the perils of accidents. You know that road is very terrible. In the peril of accidents. There was a day I got to Ogbomosho, 2 a.m. 2 a.m. And I still was on my way to Ilorin. Think it's all about hallelujah. Let me told somebody, I said, you are pulling Jericho. Are you mad? Let him tell you when he was stoned. He was stoned. When he went personally, he went on evangelism in the village. He was stoned, he ran. Let him tell you when he had to leave the hospital bed with drip, removed it to go and preach and came back there. You are not doing Jericho. Or that would be shoemaker. Some things like this, somebody wants to go and reproduce it. Lack a bow. Thank you. I sat down one spot, 23 hours, I was meditating on the word. One spot. And I was yearning. See what I'm saying? I was yearning. Everything is in Christ Jesus. It's the explanation of all things. Dogari. Labor! Stay with it! Travel all the way to after Aduekiti with some men. Because I thought they were prayerful. And maybe no, can you not pray? 2-3 nights. Glory, 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 glory. That's how you will lose it. Because you don't want to labor. You are looking for easy things. Read one material, read one tape. I mean, listen to one tape. That's all they want to do in their lives. It means like they won't come for it. They'll say, can I have the CDs? Can I have the CDs? I'm going to do something one day. Can I have the CDs? That CD will do you more harm than good. Because your heart is not right. Labor. Say with me, labor. Say it again, labor. Night and day. And Paul was a craftsman. That means he was going to office every day. Was going to the office. Paul was never a full-time minister. Never. At any time. Say, with my hands I have walked. With these hands of mine. That was why when he talked about the office of a bishop, he said, look, he must have the good report of those outside the church. So it's not just a church fellow. He worked hard. Am I not in the secular world today? Does it change anything? It's your heart that is the problem, not the work you are doing. I told you about a major in the army. Since he was in the military school, he will be doing crusades all over the place. In the north, he has won thousands to Christ. Thousands! When they go to Liberia, forget it, crusades, Syria, Lowe, Sudan. Who else should give us an excuse? If not a serving soldier. You somebody working in Lagos. Say, I know my work, I work in VI, and all that. You are a lazy person. Where your heart is, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be. It's because you don't treasure these things. Labor. How many souls have you won this year? How many folks have you healed this year? Walk. Keep at it. Paul went to Corinth. He was opposed. He kept at it for years. 18 months. 2 years. 3 years. You hear people teaching also nonsense. 5 ways to church growth. Say, look at the society. What is the strategy? They say, use this one. Use that one. People friendly. Good music. Say, good music. You know, don't make the sermon too long. Just do it short and sharp. Short and sharp microwave. Make it as short as possible. Jesus said, the blind is leading the blind. Short and sharp. So you go to service. You don't even know that the service has ended. You just sing briefly. Hallelujah, prayer. Hey. Pastor just talk. You don't even know he's preaching because he's not quoting the Bible. You see, just like Jesus said. As the same Jesus said, you see, and Bill Gates said. So they are all in the same book. That's not the Bible.
Labor.
Let me tell you this. Keep at what you are doing. After a while, people will know you for something. They will know you for the word. That this fellow is word. Is the word and the Holy Ghost. No more. No more. I want to preach in a particular church. And they said this. They said, well, they had better some other preachers. They said, in their planning meeting, they said, well, this person did in one session, 45 minutes. That person said, but this other guy that's talking about myself, they said, he will need 3 sessions. You know, he explains in details. And he will want to minister to people. So he now called, he said, sir, it's 1 hour, 30 minutes, 2 hours per your session. 3. How do you want it? In the morning, I said, yes, it's okay. They had known me for it. I don't come there to do side attraction. I don't come there. It took me a while to know how to greet people in the audience. I would say, praise God. Thank you for the church. I had to learn it. Because when I just get to where I say, praise God. Lift your hands, Lord, help God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4. There's urgency in my spirit. Let's do this job. But after a while, I know, as I grew up, I said, okay, praise God. So I now start doing acting. Well, thank God. The privilege for me to stand on the pulpit, the greatest privilege. Thank God for the pastor. He's a great man and all that. Please, can you put a round of applause for the pastor? I have to learn it. Because I don't have time for things like that. Say, this is for my wife. No? Or what? If she wants to preach, let her come and preach too. God called me, called her. God saved me, saved you. And this kind cometh not by marrying. It's by commitment. You know, so we just waste time. Praise God. Hallelujah. So nice to be in this assembly. And always saying, you know, I was telling my wife last time I came. You know, I remember sometime in 1982. Yesterday, you know, I was in Tulsa. I left from there. I flew in 14 jets. As I was coming to Nigeria, I met with the governor of Osasaland. And as I was leaving, I met my son. 20 minutes. But you know, for doing work, we need to do a lot of strategizing. Strategizing. What did you lose? Lost and not found. Strategizing. After gisting, you now sing again. 30 minutes. That's it. You say, well, I've not come to preach. I've not come to teach. I've come to give you a word. So I sat down to hear a word. There are too many words here that will be preaching a word. You came all the way to give me a word. Hallelujah. Labor. When you labor well, when you're on the pulpit, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, you will not be ashamed. There is nowhere in the world I cannot boldly stand on any pulpit. There's no pulpit I can't teach and preach. In fact, there are some places where, I remember I went to preach somewhere, the place was so jam-packed. You know, it was a sports center. It was filled up with thousands of people. Interestingly, I didn't have a suit. Because I didn't have money. Don't say I didn't have a suit because I sold the suit. No, I didn't have money. So, I just wore shirts and a tie. So, the guy that was following us, as usual, you know, he dressed well. So, they introduced us. We now sat together. They thought I was associate. So, we sat down together. And all that. So, he said, we want to call on the brother. You know, they want to embarrass you. Yeah, sir. This is okay. The brother, they put us in one hotel, like, you know, short time hotel where you have green light, blue light, yellow light, and, you know, it's not really for human beings. So we got in there. So I just took the Bible. I have the Bible. Don't bother. Don't introduce me. I will introduce myself. I won't say I'm a man of God. No, you will know that after the service. When I was through, 11 deaf ears were stopped. 11. The next day, crowds now came. Ha! Because I preached on the supernatural ministry. Mark 16:15 down to 20. When I was through, you know, it was obvious I was a man of God. There was another meeting I went for. You know, they were calling other preachers and all that. They called some names and all that. Then I said, okay, I should come. I should please. They said, oh, sure. You were there. The guy did not know, that was introduced me, did not know my name. He said, this is the man of God. Well, we don't know much about him, but I know he's a man of God. He will introduce himself when he comes. Nothing is as embarrassing as that. What here, man? Well, I was about to go home. It was a night meeting. I just took the Bible. I began to preach. Again, I went to Mark 16. And I taught again the supernatural ministry of Jesus. You know, when I got to that point, and as I preached, I turned to the choir master. I gave him his name and his surname. He knelt down. He couldn't lead the song again. I turned to two other people. I turned to one pastor. And I went back to start preaching again. Now, I've gotten your attention. You were in the meeting. I now called them out. How many of you guys came out that night? I know you must have come out. Hundreds of them. I laid hands for several hundreds. Got the sick healed. And all that. I was not on their list of ministers. I was like a mercenary. Do you understand? When they published the magazine for that program, I was the one they put on the front page. See, let me tell you, what you are, you are. Do you understand? I won't change my destiny because of some stupid pain, some nonsense publicity. Let me tell you, I, Olusegun Onoyinka, I will teach all over the world. See, if things go bad, I will start again. Hallelujah. I will start again. I've had fellowships closed down on my face. I've had members of the church walk away. No, but I'll start again. I to change the look on. Start in the house of the world. Then I to be again. House of faith. We'll start again. One day, so mightily will grow that word. It will prevail. It will prevail. I cannot be defeated. So I can never quit. Rather, challenges make me throw out my arms the more. I will walk. The word of God cannot fail. I will walk. Don't let ministry any other way but walk. If they teach you any other thing, Pastor Odin was telling us this story. She went to a particular, you know, noisemaker like that all over the place. The guy had runs a Bible school. Now, the servant cannot be greater than their master. Do you understand? A noisemaker like that. He says the same thing all over the place and they give him invitations, just making noise and looking more like a Baba Salah on the pulpit. And he went to his Bible school. First week, minister's training school. The second week, they are teaching you how to pack your bag when you are going to preach. How to put means. So I came all the way to come and learn what? To come and learn home economics or what is it? To come and learn social studies. I came all the way from Lagos to Ibadan to come and learn social studies. You see, be gentle, wear a red tie on a blue shirt. You know, there's sometimes in life you ask yourself, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? You better labor. See, we're here now. The girl is okay. Deaf and dumb. See? They came here. They said they are here to go around. They came to call us that somebody is deaf and dumb. I said, I can't be going for that. You go. You understand? Larry was just waking up. You don't have to pray. She has heard and she has spoken. Just now. Are you now telling me that this one will not get to all the nations? Are you telling me that? What did you say our mission was? To take the gospel to all the nations. We will get there. It's coming a day. Some of you will take a continent. I don't have to get there. I don't have to get there. They don't have to know me. Are you getting my point? When you teach you now, you'll be running after women. Women run after you, run after men. Not men, women. Ministry is labor. I'll close on this. A serious-minded minister will always take advantage of opportunities. A serious-minded minister will always, number one, look for the opportunities. Number one, take advantage of it. I preached in marketplaces. I was in Niger State years ago. And they said we could not preach because they will stone us.
I said, I'm going to go and preach in the marketplaces. I said, don't worry, I won't give up. He said, if you give altar call, there will be trouble. The Muslim guy said, there's no problem. I won't give altar call. I don't have to give altar call. But I went there and I preached in the midst of the tension. Some will have gone to the same state. You're going to be doing teacher, banker. Nobody is saying you should not be teacher and banker. But be a preacher who is a banker. Be a minister who is a teacher. Ministry has no other definition but intense work. Intense. But in Ghana, 95, a Bible school, and they asked me a question. They said, sir, it was a Bible school. They said, where did you learn these things? I mean, they wanted to know the Bible school so that they can go to the same place. On top of all, you are in one Bible school, go to another one. They said, no, it's by the word and the spirit. The training of the spirit. No more. Labor. What department are you in? Meters and greeters. Welfare. Sister Mama. There's one lady. Anytime I go to preach in their fellowship, she's always cooking. I said, look, I'd rather be hungry and you are fed the word than be fed the word and you are this terrible. She felt bad. She didn't like what I said. And she took it as an offense. And I'm sorry. I'm not sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for how she felt. I'm not sorry for the truth. Cooking. Cooking. You know, that's my own calling. Which calling is that? Who called you? The thief on the right hand or the one on the left? Can't be the master. Ministry is labor. We are growing mightily because we are laboring. The word of God will grow across the earth, across the nations. But it doesn't happen automatically. It happens when men put their hands on the plow and they don't look back. I believe I'm talking to some people here. See, set your face like a flint. Be a long distance runner. Be a long distance runner. The journey is far, but we'll get there. Hallelujah. We'll get there. 10 years. 20 years. 30 years. 40 years. 50 years. 60 years. Some opposition today will be broken in 10 years. Some will take them 3 years. But keep at it. Some opposition could take 18 months. Keep at it. Some misunderstanding. Those of people today, what they do all over the place is tell lies about what someone like me preaches or teaches. Really, I don't care. One day, the person you are lying to will finally hear the truth. As long as I don't change what I'm saying. Are you following what I'm saying? As long as I don't change what I'm saying, one day, that fellow will hear the truth. You can deceive all the people some of the time. You can deceive some of the people all of the time. But you say you cannot deceive all the people all the time. Satan's span of rulership and reign in the earth was not all the time. Deliverance will come one day. When men stick to the word. See, people of the world, don't give in to nonsense. Don't give in to motivational speaking. Don't give in to all this rubbish pervading the atmosphere. Don't give in to quick fix results. The word of God will grow and mightily it will prevail across the land. See, you will pastor thousands of people. You will still pastor 10,000s. You will still pastor churches and churches across the nations. That is why you must stick to purpose. You must stick to purpose. You must stick to the plan. You must stick to the pursuit. You must stick to the provision. Don't leave your company. Don't leave those that you believe the same. Don't leave. Stay with people that you will pursue that mission together. Because the truth of the matter is this. The laborers are still few. Lift your hands wherever you are. A dedication to walk. 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 And more walk. Walk. And more walk. 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 And more walk. I want somebody here to resign from laziness. Resign totally from laziness. Walk. Walk. And more walk. Our course outline is clear. Our course code is clear. There's no point doing any legal course. Only Bible approved courses. Mark 16:15-20. Matthew 28:18-20. No more.